is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. At least seven people have died after a massive wreck, 158 vehicles in South Louisiana. Authorities say it was likely caused by a super fog, a combination of dense fog and heavy smoke with visibility less than 10 feet. Louisiana State Police Sergeant Kate Stiegel.
There was one vehicle that went over the railing and into the water. Thankfully, that driver was able to get out.
Portions of the road were closed for more than 2 hours during rush hour as first responders tried to help the injured and move survivors out of harm's way.
She calls me, Mama, they've had a bad wreck and we're in it, but we're okay.
Part of the highway remains closed. Omar Villafranca, CBS News, Dallas.
Israel says Hamas has released two more hostages, this time two Israeli women in their 80s. They had been living on a kibbutz near Israel's border with Gaza when they were taken. CBS's Charlie Daggett reports.
There are something like 200 hostages that are still in captivity in Gaza. In the very short time, at least, Hamas is buying time. Time to negotiate, time to possibly figure out what's going on, time to regroup while those airstrikes at least slow down, at least for a short time.
Last week, Hamas released two American women. Israel is issuing a new warning to civilians to evacuate northern Gaza, another sign that a ground invasion could be imminent. CBS's Deborah Pata reports from northern Israel.
We just arrived in the border town of Kiryat Shmona to film the evacuation of residents when we were ducking for cover. The air raid sirens were followed within seconds by a loud blast.
What you've just been hearing is exactly why authorities want the last few thousand people left in this town to evacuate to safety.
An off-duty pilot is facing attempted murder charges after allegedly trying to shut down a Horizon airplane's engines mid-flight. CBS's Chris Van Cleef says Alaska Airlines pilot Joseph Emerson was riding in the cockpit jump seat of the flight from Everett, Washington to San Francisco.
Retired airline pilot and former NTSB chair Robert Sumwalt.
If I'm in a cockpit jump seat, how hard would it be to access engine controls?
All he or she would have to do is just reach up and grab something to be able to turn the engines off.
CBS News obtained this alert the FAA sent to airlines about the incident, noting it is not connected in any way, shape, or form to current world events.
Tommy Pham and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. hit back-to-back homers, and Merrill Kelly struck out eight to help the Arizona Diamondbacks force Game 7 of the NL Championship Series. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies 5-1. The winner of tomorrow night's game advances to the World Series. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Timeout!
Oh, right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattinair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Monday, October 23rd. Greg Bach is on the board, our Monday co-host, while Kristen is off on maternity leave. Todd Alba, who you work, I mean... Is there anywhere that you're not working? Is there an air shift that you haven't covered yet?
I tried the street corner here on State Street, and I got arrested. So that's the only place I'm not working currently. It's fun. Look at Phil Nee and Chad Holmes, guys that are doing high school sports. I mean, they're the hardest working people here. I'm just a guy that shows up at a mic with coffee.
Oh, you keep yourself pretty busy. And your show is starting today at a new time.
Yes, I heard the promo before we came on, contrary to the promo, yes. And really, Jane and Greg, this is a lifelong dream of mine. I am now getting paid to have a nooner. So you can join me.
Oh, my God, Todd.
You can join me every afternoon.
Is your show called Afternoon Delight?
No, but it should be.
It could be.
We are soliciting new names for the show.
So Afternoon Delight with Todd.
Afternoon Delight with Todd. I like that. One of the rejected titles was Pillow Talk with Mike Lindell. So
that title seems a little lumpy to me.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much. So, yeah, noon. Here's what it is. It is a four-hour power period of As Goes Wisconsin and Todd. We're back to back now, and I could not be happier because we can do crossovers. It's just, I feel like I've rejoined the party with As Goes Wisconsin. And quite frankly, if anything, if we could just, if we could leech onto the popularity of As Goes Wisconsin, we'll be great.
It's going to be great. I love listening to your show. I always learn so much, and you have a lot of great guests on too. And so it's all good.
Yeah, I talked to Kristen a little bit about it last week, and in seriousness, I think we are going to do some crossover things from time to time, and I think our two shows complement each other pretty darn well.
Absolutely.
So I'm happy to be here noon to one, or maybe only noon to one, noon to two.
Noon to two.
And then after that, it is 2 big hours of Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn is so big, you can't fit them all into 1 hour.
Yep, you had to spread them out a little bit. Well, that's great. So that's all starting today. So right after As Goes Wisconsin... You want to stay right here for the nooner debut of the Todd Alba show.
Oh my god!
It's optional.
Yeah, oh my god.
Yeah, we're gonna start off by talking about the latest efforts by the Whoop 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 Boing Caucus. Still no Speaker of the House. They are going to be meeting later tonight. I believe it's around dinner time
for a secret ballot, because you have to suss it down. Boil it down, winnow and sift. You can't have 9 people on the floor to vote for. So they're going to do a secret ballot and get it down to, as Charlie Behrens would say, a couple three.
A couple three. A couple two three. Yeah. So among the hats in the speaker race, we're just going to go through them one by one, all 9 of them, not too in-depth. But
Representative Kevin Hern, a Republican from Oklahoma, he supported Jordan's bid as speaker, but he says he's a different type of leader with a proven track record of success. Okay. He did vote to overturn the results of the 2020 election.
Yes.
And actually, there are only two who did not vote to overturn the election, but then they signed on to that brief, that amicus brief, to try and knock out four states. Remember that?
But Jane, the bar here is simply, will you vote on the floor to certify a legit election? That's where we're at now.
I know.
I mean, if you're willing to say, yes, reality is real, then, hey, you're a candidate.
But that's always been our problem, Todd. Again, we can't all agree that gravity exists.
Exactly. It's,
yeah. Okay, so another one, Republican from Texas, Pete Sessions, previously chaired the House Rules Committee. He's 68 years old, 11 terms in the House.
Here's a fun fact about Pete Sessions, because at one time he was kind of a big deal, a little bit like Britney Spears. But anyway,
Todd. Watch yourself.
And so Pete Sessions was elected in an area of Dallas, a suburb of Dallas. And lo and behold, you know, people actually kind of got informed and the demographics changed and Pete Sessions found himself without a job. So what he had to do is he had to kind of like, you know, back in biblical times, go home for your census. He had to return to his hometown of Waco out in western Texas, more conservative, and get reelected to a completely different district that is more conservative. So this is Pete Sessions' session go around, not quite as punchy as he once was.
Well, that's going to be interesting. He also is one of the House Republicans who voted against certifying the 2020 election. Then we go to Georgia, Austin Scott, a surprise speaker candidate, apparently. He did support Jim Jordan in all three rounds of voting. After, you know, Jimbo lost again on Friday, that's when he threw his hat in the ring. He's 53, and he said lawmakers did not have the power to overturn the results.
Right. So it's Austin Scott. Not Steve Austin, the $6 million man.
That's correct. It's
Austin Scott from Georgia and Tom Emmer of Minnesota, the only two of the nine who actually voted to certify the 2020 election.
Yeah, and Tom Emmer does not have the support of a lot of Republicans, at least from what I've been seeing, and Donald Trump does not like him.
No, they've had a campaign since Friday, the Trump folks, to try to knock him out because, you know, Trump doesn't like people who don't suck up to him. And so, you know, Tom Emmer is already under fire. I mean, if, you know, being serious for a second, I probably wouldn't vote for any of these people. But if I was forced to vote for someone on here, it would probably be Tom Emmer because he has a little bit of Midwestern common sense. He actually did vote to certify the 2020 election, and he doesn't seem like a hyper-partisan. And probably most of all, Donald Trump hates him. So, I mean, you know, if
well,
Trump
there's
hates
a reason.
If Trump hates you, I can probably be okay.
I can warm up to you a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, I can warm up to you. From Florida, it's Representative Byron Donalds, relative newcomer to Congress, but he is only 44, staunch Trump ally.
Staunch Trump ally, and also under the Chris Licht era, former CEO of CNN, that tried to make things, quote unquote, more fair and balanced.
Right.
Byron Donalds was on kind of the whack job train on CNN pundit panel. And just, I mean, it was a complete mouthpiece for the mega faction. So, I mean, you know, basically, Byron Donalds is Jim Jordan without all the sexual assault baggage.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, really, he's that far right.
Another great choice. We're going through the nine House Republicans who are going to be running for Speaker of the House. From Michigan, Representative Jack Bergman, retired U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant General. He's running for Speaker. He is confident he can win the votes where others have not. 76 years old. He signed a pledge to support the ultimate speaker designate on the House floor.
Yes. Well, 76, apparently he's also taking a lot of pharma money from Viagra, but I'm not sure what that means.
That's just speculation. We don't know that for sure.
Speculation. We don't know that. But things are looking up, I think, for Jack Bergman. We'll
see. All right. Louisiana Representative Mike Johnson, he announced on Saturday that he was going to run. 51, an attorney and former radio host. Chair of the House Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution. He also contested the results of the 2020 presidential election. None of these are good choices.
No, but you had a note that I did not. I did not know that Mike Johnson was a legit radio host like us, or was he one of these people that, you know, he goes in once a week for a radio show and the host does all the work.
Yeah, this article does not go into great detail about that. Right. So I can't make a determination one way or the other, Mr. Dalba. from Pennsylvania, Representative Dan Moiser, serving in the House since 2019. He's 59. He signed that amicus brief supporting a lawsuit that would have invalidated the results of the 2020 election in four states, including his home state.
I love the fact that he put this out and said he will be focused on politics of inclusion.
That's a bad word.
Right. But they clarifies that and says the idea that every member of the GOP conference should be part of policymaking, legislation, and communications. So he's all about inclusion for Republicans.
For Republicans. Oh, well, now that tracks, though, doesn't it? That right, absolutely yeah, tracks. Exactly. Mm-hmm. From Alabama, Representative Gary Palmer, late addition to the speaker list of candidates.
By the way.
69 years old. He also signed that amicus brief supporting the suit to invalidate the results of the 2020 election in four states. So on that issue, they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? The two vote to certify the results, but then they tried to go around it in another way anyway.
Right. No, it's. I mean, people are saying it's a clown show. A lot of people are. And it is, but it's also just extraordinarily disappointing. And in today's world, it's extraordinarily dangerous. Not only are we having, unprecedented, but certainly it's one of the most dangerous times, not just for the United States, but around the world since 9/11. And it is also, we are now under 30 days, I believe, from going off the financial cliff of having a government shutdown.
Right.
And we have nobody in the House of Representatives who has negotiated with the Senate and the White House to keep government going.
That's terrifying. And I heard something over the weekend, and I can't remember who said it, but talking about when that CR runs out. Yeah. Oh, no one's going to start talking about that until the day before.
All right.
They're just so nonchalant about it. Yeah, the government's going to shut down. Meh.
Remember, Jane, maybe they're maybe so nonchalant because remember, members of the House, they keep getting paid.
How is that a thing?
Right?
How can that be a thing? That seems not.
Because they always take care of themselves first. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Maybe on the other side we could talk a little bit, but one of our congresspeople from Wisconsin, Derek Van Orden, decided to take a powder on the House Speaker race and literally has gone off the ranch on this.
Yeah.
If you want to see me just with too much time on my hands on Twitter, I respond to almost everything he posts.
Do you really?
He's such a
Did you
turd.
See all the wacky posts this weekend, Greg?
Which one?
We're gonna come back.
It's Jane's show, Todd. Stop. Just calm down, Todd. Less coffee.
We'll come back and kick around. Well, not literally. Derek Van Orden from Wisconsin's 3rd District. That's all. Coming up, stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I always like to go back to what Tom Cruise said. Just take a walk.
That's where you get your advice.
Well, don't you remember that long time ago, Brooke Shields talked about postpartum depression going on medication? He's like, you should just go for a walk around the block.
That's so like a man.
More great words from men.
Yeah, there's a segment right there, Greg Buck.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with a slight chance for scattered storms. Lows dip down to about 45. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered storms, high of 77. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow night. Lows level off around 58, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Food Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are live. We're going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, you're first. What's in your mind today, Jack?
Well, first of all, it's kind of hypocritical. Republicans who have fought against ranked choice voting for decades in my memory seem to be using ranked choice voting to choose their speaker nominee. Sort of ironic. The other thing that I will not trust one single one of these, and I don't care if he voted to certify Biden or not, until he absolutely says that he is going to take some action against these people that conspired to commit a coup against the United States of America. And unless he absolutely refuses to back any presidential candidate that is involved in that conspiracy. These guys are just untrustworthy unless they are willing to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And before we load it up, I mean, if there are too many kind of things they have to promise, we'll never get a speaker. I absolutely agree with you in principle that we can't have a speaker who is basically an election denier. The thing I take some comfort out of is at least these two guys voted to certify Trump, but we will see. Thanks an awful lot for the call. Jack, Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Andrew?
Professor, I am so happy that you are now on 2 hours a day. I need more of your history, your knowledge, and your opinion. So I'm glad to have more study time with you. Professor, I'm thinking today they cannot get a Speaker of the House without the help of the Democrats. Hakeem Jeffries, I know the whole Democratic caucus is working on this and what they're going to want out of who they're going to vote for. And they are not going to vote for an election denier. So this Emmer, I guess, you know, he has a chance, but they're going to want some stuff. And hopefully they're thinking about, you know, if you make promises to the Democrats and you don't uphold your promises about sharing, we will vote to remove you, just like they did with the last speaker. So waiting for your opinion, Matt. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, Andrew, thank you very much. And I can't agree with you more that the Democrats are not going to vote for anybody who's an election denier. Tom, this guy, Tom Emmer, apparently is not. I'm going to take one more call and then I'm going to get back to what I think Hakeem Jeffries is going to want or demand from him and what he should not demand from him. And we're going to go to Keith of Middleton, my friend. Thanks for calling. Keith, what's in your mind today?
Good morning or good afternoon, Matt. Love your show. I just found you guys recently, a couple weeks ago, and it moved back to Wisconsin from Idaho, which obviously, anyway, so my thing is this. I agree with you. You can't vote for election denier, but I do think that Hakeem needs to come together with either Emmert or the other guy. I can't think of his name. I don't really care. And they have to swear and come to an agreement on no shutdown, and they have to get some things in that spending bill for next year. Other than that, I think that's the biggest thing is let's not allow them to shut us down just because for interaction, which I believe is what they're trying to do. I think they're just trying to create disarray so that we can shut down in November. If they can get that agreement and hold them to that, then I would agree to vote, you know, even if it took 100 of people of the Democratic caucus to vote for him to get one of those two guys in, that's what I would I'd like to see happen. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. Excellent point. Now let me get to what I would say, and it reflects much of what Keith just said and some of what our other two callers said, Jack and Andrew. There are some people on the Democratic side who are saying we should demand equal representation on committees and that kind of thing. That's not going to happen. They have a 5-vote majority. They're not going to say that we have equal votes in the committee. That's not normal, and we would then not have a speaker. I also agree that there's a portion of the Republican Party that wants to shut us down on November 17. You know how soon that's going to be? Today is October 23rd. November 17 is right around the corner. When that happens, our sailors and Marines are not going to get paid. Those aircraft carrier strike forces in the Med right now that are taking drone attacks from the Houthi rebels, they ain't going to get paid. The 2,000 Marines that are over there in case something goes wrong, they ain't going to be paid. And the Republicans don't care about it. The right wing doesn't. But the majority of Republicans, I think, do. And the two people are Tom Emmer and Austin Scott. And if one of them is nominated by the Republicans, he's not going to get 217 votes because they have 5 or 10 sociopaths. But let's say he gets, what did Kevin McCarthy get? Like 209 or something, you know. What if he gets something like that, or 205 or 200 or 199? I think Hakeem Jeffries has to go to him and say, look, we need a speaker. You must promise a couple of things. First, you will not shut down the government. You will stick to the deal and honor it that Biden and Kevin McCarthy reached in the spring, which was a haircut anyway. It didn't take into account inflation. It was a haircut. What do you want? But we are not going to have you come around a gun to our head and say, okay, cut everything in half. If he agrees to that, there must be aid for Israel. There must be aid for Israel to let it defend itself. There must be aid for Ukraine to let it defend itself. There can be more money at the border and a farm bill and a budget that gets through January of 2025. If he does that, Hakeem Jeffries has to give him the votes, in my opinion. Hakeem Jeffries should not stand there and go through an inquisition on the guy and make him agree to a lot of the other things that politically he can't agree to at this point. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. At least 7 people have been killed in a massive pileup on Interstate 55 in Louisiana. State Police Sergeant Kate Stiegel.
As a result of the poor visibility, around 9 o'clock we started receiving calls regarding crashes that occurred on I-55 that quickly developed into multiple crashes with multiple vehicles involved.
2 elderly Israeli women being held hostage by Hamas were released today, says CBS's Roxana Saberi.
This will give hope to some other family members of hostages who are still being held in Gaza. We know there are more than 200 reported being held hostage there.
An off-duty Alaska Airlines pilot allegedly tried to disable the engines on a flight Sunday.
Okay, I'll just give you a heads up. We've got the guy that tried to shut the engines down out of the cockpit. and he doesn't sound like he's causing any issue in the back right now. I think he's subdued.
That audio from ATC.net, CBS News Brief.
Top U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. Jim of Caledonia, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jim, what's in your mind today?
Oh, I just wanted to try to enlighten our listeners about this current thing going on in the Republican Party. And I'll kind of get to my point because hopefully this will sink into people. And my point is this. If people have need or problems and they call either the military or their local police department or their local fire department and they're under duress, maybe their life's in jeopardy, and they call for help, any one of those three areas or departments will say, well, we can't agree on our position on helping you, so we're sorry, but you'll just have to wait. And I think those three areas I mentioned cover everybody that's listening and everyone in this country.
Yeah, Jim, that's a good point. You know, the House of Representatives, the Congress, has let us down. And it's not the Democrats, it's the Republicans. They've let us down. They have let a handful of 5-10 people who are not for America. They're not for America. They're for themselves and they're for Trump. They're scared of Trump. And Trump is the guy that's at the center of all this. So you're absolutely right. And I think this time what's going to happen is they'll get behind somebody, and let's say it's Emmer or Austin Scott, who voted to certify Biden, they'll get behind him, but they may not get 217 votes. And if they don't get 217 votes, they're going to have a conversation with Hakeem Jeffries. And Hakeem Jeffries, in my view, should hold their feet to the fire and say, promise me you will put a bill on the floor. Remember something, the speaker doesn't vote. The speaker normally doesn't speak on legislation. The speaker, unlike the Senate, is the speaker for the whole House. He's not the speaker just for the Republican Party. He's the head of the Republican Party, but he's a speaker for the whole House. He has to put, or she has to put, the legislation on the floor. At that point, it's Katie bar the door. If he puts that legislation on the floor, even if a lot of Republicans don't vote for it, the Democrats will vote for it, and 100, 150 Republicans will vote for it. But he must put it on the floor. And that has to be a clean budget, aid to Israel, aid to Ukraine, some border aid, farm bill, clean budget till 2025. Don't shut down the government. Just do that, and don't hold his feet to the fire and tell him to give up on 10, 15 other things right now. Let's just get going here. Thanks a lot for calling, Jim. Excellent call. Dick of Madison, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Well, real quick before I get to my point, why do I always hear the lyrics to Bachman Turner Overdrive song, Taking Care of Business? The lyric in it was, I love to work at nothing all day. That's what these guys are about. But having said that, somebody on MSNBC this morning, I about fell in my chair laughing. Well, you know, out of these nine, there's really no household names here. Well, that might be a good start with this group, because the household names in this group are all certifiably insane.
Right.
I'd rather have somebody else.
Right. And crooked, and they've stuck a knife in America, and that's terrible. So thanks a lot for calling, Dick. Excellent call. And Keith of Middleton, normally we don't take two calls, but Keith, one more time. Happy to hear you again. What's in your mind today?
Thank you, Matt. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear myself talking. Hey, so just a real quick thing, and I know I'm no fan of the Marjorie Taylor Greens and so forth like that of this world. However, with all due respect, they are representing their districts, their voters in their districts, those small districts. That's the part about the House that can be very frustrating, but it's also quite wonderful, is that you have a small district of people, and they were elected to represent that district, and they're doing it well, because that's what those people want to see happen. We need to educate the people in those districts to get out and vote, because I really firmly believe that there are more people not voting because for some reason, whether it's they don't necessarily agree 100% with the Democratic voter or representative or whatever, but we cannot allow districts with that many people to be controlled by 35 to 40% of that district.
Right, right. Yeah, let me respond to that. That's a very interesting point. And here's the reality. A congressional district is roughly 700 to 750,000 people, roughly. And it's apportioned equally by population. Take a look at the district that Marjorie Taylor Greene represents in Georgia or Matt Gaetz represents in Florida. I do not believe that the majority of the people, for instance, in Matt Gaetz's district, want to shut down the government so military people don't get paid, because Matt Gaetz has more military people in his district than most districts in the United States. And I do not believe that Marjorie Taylor Greene's district has people in Georgia who think the military shouldn't be paid and we could shut down. The problem is this. The problem is that Marjorie Taylor Greene ran a primary the first time against a moderate Republican who was a neurologist. He was a doctor. But he wasn't exciting. He wasn't flashy. And she went around just shooting her mouth off. Once somebody like that gets in office, very, very hard to dislodge them. But I'll leave you with one interesting fact, and then we're going to go on. In the last go-around leading up to this next election, 2024, she's gotten very few contributions from her district. Her people do not want her, which is measured by giving money. Her money is coming from out of state. It's coming nationally. That's where it's coming from. But the problem is they will not vote for a Democrat because whatever, you know, it goes back to Nixon picking up the George Wallace constituency after 1968. So it would have to be a Republican, but then Donald Trump will come in to back her up. And somebody down there has got to grow a spine among the voters and say, look, okay, I want a conservative Republican. Maybe, you know, I'm still going to vote for Trump, but I'm not putting this clown, Marjorie Taylor Greene, in. Okay, I want to get to another topic, which is of vital interest to the United States right now, and that is what appears to be a developing war in the Middle East. This is a complex subject, and you know I've talked about it before, so we may not get to it entirely in this segment, but I want to start. It's extremely important. And there are facts and there are circumstances that you may not be aware of. First of all, when Hamas planned that sadistic, really genocidal attack on Israelis, that wasn't done overnight, and it wasn't entirely Hamas's idea. Iran is behind this. Hamas is an Iran proxy. Hezbollah up in Lebanon is an Iran proxy. The Houthi rebels in Yemen are Iran proxies. Iran is a center of evil in the Middle East. And I don't say that lightly. You know, I met Iranian people who are very fine people. I had a friend, a medical doctor who passed away, Dr. Herzl Spiro. He had came from a long line of rabbis back in Germany, going back hundreds of years. And he has had an apartment in Jerusalem. And Dr. Spiro, back before 1979, before the basically Shiite overthrow of the government, went to Iran frequently, taught there, lived there for a while, had friends there. He said they're very, very able people, very good people fundamentally. But in 1979, remember when the Shah was thrown out, they became basically a theocratic state. And basically, they are an Islamic state. They want everything to be an Islamic state. So what happened was when the Abraham Accords started to take effect, and not only the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and Sudan and Morocco started to recognize Israel, but the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia let the word out that he might recognize Israel in return for security guarantee and for civilian nuclear technology. Now, there's no way that I would stand to give anybody like Saudi Arabia any nuclear technology, because they'll simply bring in Chinese and North Korean and Iranian, not Iranian because they hate each other, but Russian engineers, and develop a nuclear weapon. But it is possible to give them other accommodations. Iran was alarmed by that. Iran is a Shiite nation. Saudi Arabia is the principal Sunni nation. 90% of the world's Muslims are Sunni, 10% Shiite. The only difference between them, they're both Muslims, is that back in the 7th century, when the Prophet Muhammad passed away, the Shiites believed that his successor should be in his bloodline, a relative. The Sunnis believed that it was okay to have a pious individual who was not in the bloodline. And for that, for the last 1,400 years, they have killed each other. That is the simple fact. So when Iran, basically the Shiite capital of the world, other Shiites are in Lebanon, Hezbollah are Shiites, there are Shiites in Iraq, there are a handful in Afghanistan, Pakistan, they have their mosques blown up frequently by Sunnis in those countries. When Iran got word that the Saudis possibly were going to recognize Israel and therefore ally themselves with Western civilization, they got alarmed, and they've used their proxies to attack the West and to attack Israel. The way they did it is diabolical. When these people went in, they were not just sadistic, they were animals. It reminded me of the tortures that pogroms inflicted on Jewish people in Russia, in Poland. It reminded me of what they inflicted on Christians back the Ottoman Empire hundreds of years ago. And I'm not going to get into the details because they're so disgusting. But by doing that, I saw an interview with an Israeli colonel the other day, and he was a terrific guy, did a terrific job. He said, we went there to clean up what occurred. And he said, we found body parts, not bodies, body parts all around the area. And they're trying to trace them through DNA. There was a picture on one of the interviews. I couldn't make out what it was. It turned out it was about 7 or 8 children who'd been burned alive and tied together before they were burned in front of their parents. This is Nazi stuff. This is the stuff of animals. In fact, an animal wouldn't do it. So what do you do with that? The idea behind Iran's control of Hamas is that when you do something that despicable, the person who is the target has absolutely no recourse but to retaliate. But in the retaliation, when you're hiding like animals in tunnels, it requires bombing to seal off the tunnels. They took 222 hostages. And then all you see on TV, especially on MSNBC, are pictures of what happens in the bombing. And people immediately forget the details of what the animals did in the first place. Let me give you an example. This happened Saturday, October 7. On October 8, there was a rally, a disgusting rally in New York, of people who rallied for the Gaza side of it. It was organized by the Democratic Socialists of America. They're not Democrats. They hijacked the name Democrats. Some of the people in the crowd had swastikas. They marched down to the Israeli embassy. And the speaker, the MC, here's what he said, quote, they were laughing. They were laughing, and it was as if their soccer team had won the World Cup. They said, as I'm sure you know, that there was a sort of rave or desert, this is a direct quote, rave or desert party where they were having a great time until the resistance came in and took out several of the hipsters. But I'm sure they're doing okay, despite what the newspaper said. And he laughed about the torture. We're coming to a break. I'm going to get back to this issue right after the break and make a suggestion of how this has got to be resolved. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows around 43. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered storms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 77. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows level off around 58. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK. Yeah.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And then before I give you what I think is going to have to be the solution, it's going to require a good show of force. Consider this. I just read to you what was said in New York on the day after this atrocity. There is a woman who is a professor at a college in California, the University of California, Davis. Her name is Gemma DeCristo. And here's what she said. She said she threatened, quote, Zionist journalists and their families, quote, one group of people we have easy access to in the US is all these Zionist journalists and their families. For their propaganda and misinformation. They have houses with addresses. They have kids in school. They can fear their bosses, but they will fear us more. This is a professor at the University of California in Davis. I'll tell you something. I would arrest her. If I were a DA at Charger, that's a terroristic threat. This is the kind of thing you see. So when people look at MSNBC and say, and properly so, that the bombing is a terrible thing, you must understand the attempt by Iran to isolate Israel. And we're not going to permit it. Israel at its widest part is 86 miles wide. 86 miles. Get in a car and drive from Milwaukee to Madison and then drive 11 more miles. That's as wide as Israel is. At its skinniest, shortest width, it's 9 miles. Get in a car, drive up from downtown Milwaukee to Brown Deer Road. That's what it is. Israel is a nation of peace, of technology, of reaching out to its neighbors. Prior to Netanyahu, everybody attacks Netanyahu. I don't agree with a lot of Netanyahu does, but they had excellent prime ministers before that who tried to make peace and just resolve everything. The most recent was when Yasser Arafat and Ehud Barak and Bill Clinton got together a little over 20 years ago. And the Palestinians were given 95% of, they could have all that land. They could have the West Bank. They could have it all. Only one thing was asked, that they recognize Israel's right to exist. You can have neighbors that don't get along. I've had neighbors in the past that I didn't get along with, you know, houses I've had. But as long as you are not afraid they're going to sneak in and murder you at night, you can deal with that. Yasser Arafat wouldn't do that. He wouldn't take back all his land for that one promise. And the reason he wouldn't, actually two reasons. One is he would have been assassinated. That's what happened to Anwar Sadat back 40 years ago. And by the way, Anwar Sadat was the Egyptian who launched the sneak attack during the Yom Kippur War in 1973. This guy was an Egyptian's Egyptian. But he was a guy who understood statesmanship, and he agreed to get a peace agreement with Israel. He was murdered by his own bodyguards. There was a governor of the Punjab in India. It's actually a disputed region. And a Christian woman, because this gets done to Christians all the time, by the way. Christian woman was accused of blasphemy and put on the, it was a death penalty. And the government, and what happened was, she was a poor person working the field, and a woman who didn't like her said she just blasphemed the prophet. Yeah, she didn't say anything. Governor Punjab said this isn't right. She should be released. He was murdered by his bodyguard. You must understand that all the people on the other side of Israel understand are two kinds of force, military force and economic force. And that is what I'm going to suggest as the way to resolve this. But we're going to go to the lines first. Dave in Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's on your mind today, Dave?
Yeah, I think your analysis is absolutely 100% excellent. It's one of the best that I've heard, certainly the best I've heard on broadcast, radio, television, et cetera. Yeah, you know, I think, as I said, your analysis, your assessment's great. It is Iran, their entire objective is to make sure there's no peace with Israel, because peace with Israel implies the continued existence of Israel. So what they do is they intervene best they can to prevent peace with Israel. You know, there were, right after Rabin was assassinated, there was an election. I believe that it was the one right after Rabin was assassinated, between Shimon Peres of the Labor Party, you know, leftist, very left-oriented, and Netanyahu, who is less aggressive with respect to a two-state solution. So what the Iranians did, in other words, Peres was the more the person who would more likely be able to achieve peace with the Palestinians. So what the Iranians did was they ordered a series of terrorist attacks. With each of those terrorist attacks, well, first let me back up. Peres was ahead 20 points approximately. But with each of those terrorist attacks, the 20-point margin decreased by about 3% until, you know, one after another, after another, after another, after another, until Netanyahu won by less than one per percentage point. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree. That's just one of many, many examples of how Iran intervenes in order to prevent peace. And if you don't get rid of Hamas, I don't see how there will ever be peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Yep. Okay. I thank you for that great call. We have about a minute and a half before the break. Jesse of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Jesse, what's your mind today?
Hi, Matt, I think you have mischaracterized a number of aspects about the entire Israel-Palestinian situation. One, I think it bears repeating that Yitzhak Rabin was a man of peace and was able to come together at the Oslo Accords. He was assassinated, I think it should be noted, by a right-wing Orthodox Israeli who was trying to dismantle and dislodge the peace process. That hasn't gotten mentioned on your show or anywhere that I've heard in the recent discussions, and it bears repeating. And secondly, I don't hear any discussion about these illegal settlements in the West Bank. Now, none of that justifies the horrible things that Hamas did recently.
Okay, Jesse, hold on, Jesse. I'm going to ask Anya to keep you on the line and put you on when we come back. I'm forced to go to a break right now, but I'm not going to cut you off. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. You stay on the line, and after the break, Anya will put you back on. Thank you.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day.
Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.